Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Christmas Eve service 2017. Now, Christmas is such a wonderful time to gather together as believers and to really focus in on Jesus and the reason for his coming. And it's such a blessing to be able to celebrate Christmas with you. Martin and the boys and myself are in England at the moment and celebrating Christmas together in England before we head out to Albania. And, you know, we just all send our warmest Christmas greetings to you guys back in South Africa. And knowing that you in South Africa are experiencing a warm Christmas, you know, we're experiencing a very cold Christmas. And that's right up our alley. We love it like that. But let's pray and let's get into today's message. Father, we want to thank you for your presence. We thank you that we can just celebrate Christmas with such joy, knowing that you gave us the greatest gift of all, and that's Jesus. Now, for God so loved the world that he gave. You gave because you loved us. That's the right motivation for giving. And we just thank you, Father, that your love has accomplished so much for us. We thank you that nothing can separate us from your amazing love. And we just welcome your presence, Holy Spirit. We welcome your ministry to us this morning as we celebrate the reason for the season. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this morning, I'm looking just looking forward just to ministering on something I enjoy ministering on when it comes to Christmas time. There's lots of things that you can minister on at Christmas time, but this is one of my favorite things to minister on. You know, what is the Christmas message all about? Okay, you know, as I was meditating on this, you know, I realized that we've made Christmas about many different things. Okay, we've made Christmas about family, and it's great to spend time with family, but let's be honest, Christmas is not about family. Okay, we've made Christmas about presents, and it's not about presents. It's about much more than a few gifts that you get at Christmas. It's about good food for many of us, and it's about much more than that. It's about a fat man in a red suit. It's about much more than a fat man in a red suit. You know, none of these things are really 100% wrong, but there's so much more to what Christmas is really about. And that's why we as believers especially celebrate Christmas is the real reason for the season. Yes, it's about Jesus. He is the reason for the season. Okay? It's cliche, but it's 100% true. But you know, if you think about it, it's actually amazing that the majority of the world comes together on Christmas Day to celebrate Jesus. Like, even if people don't know 100% the real reason for the season, they kind of observe, you know, Christmas celebrations, whether it's with a Christmas tree, whether it's just with Father Christmas and all of that. They observe Christmas even though they don't know what they're celebrating. Many Christians, or millions of Christians around the world, are observing Christmas. And as I was meditating on that, I thought, you know, that's really amazing that at Christmas time, many Christians are coming together to celebrate Jesus. Millions of Christians around the world to celebrate Jesus. But, like, I was wondering why many believers are coming together to celebrate Christmas. Why are you coming to church today and hopefully coming tomorrow to celebrate Christmas? Why are you celebrating Christmas? You know, I think even for us as believers, everybody's reason for celebrating is different. For a lot of people who would call themselves Christian, celebrating Christmas or observing Christmas would simply be a religious observance. It's just something that we do, okay, as Christians. For a lot of people, for a lot of Christians, it's maybe just tradition. You know, this time of the year, we know it's not Jesus' real birthday, but, you know, we observe his birthday and we celebrate his coming. But you know what? There's so much more than that. For a lot of Christians, Christmas is about a stable, a star, a couple of wise men, you know, some angels and shepherds and all of this. And you know, the Christmas message is so much more than all of this. As I've been meditating on it the past couple days, past couple of weeks, I've really just been blessed once again by the account of Christmas in the message, in the Bible, the first Christmas that ever happened where Jesus was born. And, you know, it includes a whole bunch of things. It includes wise men. It includes angels and shepherds and a star and a manger. But the significance of what took place, God becoming flesh, You know, God coming in the likeness of man to save and redeem mankind. It's so huge. My favorite Christmas song, which you probably sang this morning, is Hark the Herald Angel. Because if you listen to those words, it's the gospel. It's powerful. It's powerful. And that's what we're going to be digging into this morning, is part of their Christmas account. So starting off in Luke chapter 2, okay, it says from verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." So this is talking about Mary and the birth of Jesus. Because and the reason why he was in a manger and they were in a stable was because there was no room for them in the inn. Okay, verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them," listen, "one angel appeared to a few shepherds, and says unto them, fear not." Okay, now these guys were scared at the appearance of one angel, and the angel says, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings." I want everybody together to say good tidings, okay? I bring you good tidings of, and everybody say great joy, which will be for all people, okay? Everybody say that together, that line. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people, okay? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now that was a sign unto the shepherds, because you don't often find a baby in a manger. Okay? So when they found this particular baby in a manger, they would know that this is the Savior. Okay? Savior meaning someone who comes to save. Okay? Verse 13, "And suddenly, with the angel, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God." Okay, so now one angel caused these shepherds to freak out and be afraid. Now all of a sudden there's a multitude. Now in Scripture, if you look at it, when Jesus was ministering to the multitude, a multitude could be anything from 5,000 to 30,000 people. So now there was one angel which freaked out a few shepherds, and now all of a sudden there's a multitude of angels praising God in front of all these shepherds. It's 5,000 minimum to about 30,000 angels praising God in front of these angels. Imagine, they must have wet themselves. If they were scared with one angel, imagine with a couple thousand angels. Okay, picture, we mostly when it comes to Christmas and we're thinking about, you know, the Christmas account and what happened, you know, we picture one angel, three angels, all of this. Close your eyes when you're reading through Scripture, not obviously while you're reading, after you've read Scripture, close your eyes and imagine. Imagine what you're reading. Think about it. Picture it. Thousands of angels praising God and worshiping Him in front of these shepherds. It must have made a huge impact on these shepherds. I mean, the Scripture says that they went and found Jesus and worshipped Him. But listen to what the angels were saying. They were saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Okay? Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. On earth peace, goodwill toward men. We're going to look at that in a moment, because that's a powerful verse. But this passage of Scripture has a lot of the elements of what we celebrate at Christmas time. On Christmas cards and shopping centers even, there's banners saying joy, you know, peace, love. And all of these words describe the Christmas message, describe what Christmas is all about. And, you know, we as believers, I think we become so desensitized to the significant meaning of Christmas and what these words actually are saying. Okay, so listen, verse 10 and 11, it says, "And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." I always want to hammer on that. I'm going to get there. "Which will be for all people." This message is not just for the Jews. This message is not just for a select few, for good people. This message is for all people. Okay, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Look at what the easy-to-read version says. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I have some very good news for you." The Christmas message is very good news. Okay? News that will make everyone happy. Today, your Savior was born in David's town. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And so the angels were announcing the coming Messiah to save all people. And that's good news. Okay, the message of Christmas, of Jesus' birth, is good news that will make everyone happy. Good tidings of great joy for all people. Okay, no one is excluded. You might think that you've gone too far and that you've done too many wrong things. You might think that abortion was the final straw and God can't accept you anymore. You might think that, you know, that thing that you did this year, that sin was just the final straw. How can God love me anymore? I've done too many things wrong. You might think that you've just blown it completely. The Christmas message is a message for you. You can't go too far. You cannot exhaust God's grace. His love and His grace is toward you. Now listen to this message that I've got for you this morning. Okay? Because it's going to set you free, I believe. It's going to minister to your heart. Yeah, if you can go to a Christmas service and walk out not being happy, you haven't heard the gospel. You haven't heard the Christmas message. If you can go to a Christmas service and leave unhappy, you either weren't listening or the preaching wasn't telling you the real Christmas message. Because the real Christmas message will fill you with immense joy. It's good tidings of great joy. Okay, if you're not ecstatic by the time you walk out of this place, I promise you, I know I'm preaching the Christmas message this morning. If you leave and you're not happy, it's because you weren't listening. Okay? So I just encourage you, soak up what God's got for you because you're going to be refreshed this morning. Amen. This is the start of the Christmas message, okay? It's that next verse, verse 11. It says, "Today your Savior was born in David's town and he is the Messiah, the Lord. We were helplessly trapped in sin and the effects of sin, the effects being sickness, death, lack, depression. We were helplessly trapped in all of that. But God so loved us that He sent us a rescuer to save us. And that's Jesus. Okay, we were far from God, but He Himself reached out to us and dealt with the sin that separated us so that we could be close to Him." Okay, at Christmas we're celebrating why Jesus came and what He came to accomplish for us. And so, you know, we're not supposed to just focus on a few elements of Christmas and, you know, like, I don't know how to bring this across, but, you know, I've grown up in church. I've gone to many Christmas services over my life. I love Christmas. Okay, but it just seems like it can be so dry and dead at times because people are just presenting like this stale story. The story shouldn't be stale. If it sounds stale, it's because either your heart is dead and you're not listening, or the person presenting its heart is dead and they're not, you know, receiving revelation from this. If you go read through the Christmas account in Scripture and just think about it, it should greatly impact you. You know, the past couple of days, I've just been meditating on the wise men specifically. I've gotten so much out of that. I wrote about it in my devotionals this past week because it so impacted me. There's so much in this Christmas account. Just wait, hold on, and see what we're about to dig into. Okay, so the Christmas message is the message of Jesus' coming and what He accomplished for us. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a non-Christian. It doesn't matter what religion you are. Let me say that. The Christmas message is for all people. Okay? I'm not saying all people go to heaven, but I'm saying the Christmas message is for all people. The Christmas message, if you, doesn't matter what faith you are, what religion you are, it doesn't matter if you're atheist, if it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, doesn't matter if you're homosexual, doesn't matter if you're an immoral heterosexual. If you just listen to the heart of God in the Christmas message, it should make you very happy. Because, you know, yes, it would lead you to become a Christian, but it should make you very happy because you realize how much God loves you, no matter what you've done and no matter who you are. Okay? So, let's move on. Sin was a problem between man and God. After Adam and Eve fell and sin came in, sin caused havoc. I don't think we can understand fully how much havoc sin caused in the world. But sin was a problem and Jesus came to deal with the sin. You know, sadly, a lot of Christians are still trying to deal with sin. A lot of Christians are making, you know, their Christian life about dealing with sin so that they can get closer to God. But that's just out of ignorance. It's out of ignorance of why Jesus came and what he did for us. Jesus came to deal with sin so that we don't have to deal with sin. He came to do what we couldn't do. We could not effectively deal with our sin and get closer to God. When we just accept what Jesus has done for us, it deals with our sin. It's already eradicated, but you know, you accept the payment, and then it just bounces you closer to God, meaning you have that a direct access to God. Okay, look at this. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. So many Christians, I've heard pastors using this verse to manipulate people, and it's out of ignorance, it's not maliciously, I know that. But so many people use this verse to say your sin has separated you from God, you need to deal with your sin. And then it's like, write out every sin that you've ever committed and repent. You know, if you're an unbeliever here this morning, I'm really glad that you're here, because I want to straighten something out for you. Christianity, the message of the gospel, is not about your sin. It's about that the gospel, the message of Christmas, is that your sin has been dealt with. Okay? Whenever you feel condemnation for the sin that you've got, and that condemnation is coming at you from a preacher, they're not preaching the true gospel. Okay? You know, when I'm preaching, you know, sin is sin and it's wrong. But when you hear the gospel, it sets you free from sin, because sin has been paid for. It should make you very happy to know that God's not holding your sin against you. That's the message of Christmas. God is not holding anything against you. Okay, so Isaiah, back to Isaiah 59, the first two verses, you know, are used to kind of tell people you need to deal with your sin. And there's a couple of verses after that, which I'm not going to read because they're really depressing. But it's all about how, you know, the effects of sin in our lives. But then, you know, they use these verses to try and get you to focus on sin and deal with your sin and repent of your sin and all of this type of stuff. But they don't read on the rest of that scripture, which is prophecy about Jesus. Verse 15 and 16 says, "Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness he sustained it." So now it's talking about God seeing that there was a sin problem, and he intervened. He is the one who reached out to us to deal with it. Verse 20 says, "The Redeemer," it's a capital R if you've got a good Bible, "the Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord." You know what that's saying is that Jesus will come. He's the Redeemer. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus come? Obviously. Okay, he's still coming again, his second coming. But his first coming, he's already come. Christmas is about Jesus' first coming and celebrating his first coming. And so because the Redeemer has come, we go back to verse 2 to see that he's dealt with that. He's fixed that problem. Verse 15 and 16 says that he was going to come to deal with that problem. Okay, so let's look at a couple other verses which just give this some backing. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, so now the angel is appearing to Joseph to kind of give Joseph some peace about the fact that his fiance and him, they haven't slept together, they haven't known each other in that sense. And she's pregnant, and he doesn't know how she's pregnant. And so an angel appears to Joseph and says that, you know, don't be alarmed. What's inside of her is conceived of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So this is showing that Jesus came to save us from our sins. So many things are focused on at Christmas time. Okay, this is one of the biggest things that we should focus on. Jesus came to save us from our sins, to rescue us from our sins. John 1:29, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Jesus came to take away your sin, to deal with your sin. Not, you can't take away your sin. You can't deal with your sin. Jesus came to do that. Okay, Colossians 2:13-14 from the Message translation. It says, "When you were stuck in your old dead sin life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All your sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest warrant has been cancelled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their shame authority at the cross. The sham, sorry, authority at the cross. And marched them naked through the streets. You know, that's a beautiful scripture, and there's so many things that I can say on that. But all I want you to see is that Jesus came to deal with sin so that you don't have to deal with sin. He came to deal with your sin so that you don't have to deal with sin. Okay? Luke 2, verse 13 to 14. Okay, now we're getting into more of the Christmas account. Listen here. It says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God." I trust that picture, you know, that when I read that scripture, I'm trusting that picture has forever changed in your mind. That now you don't picture like 10 angels in the sky. You're picturing thousands. Picture a stadium full. Picture a stadium filled with angels singing, praising God, okay? So let me read that again. "And suddenly